Well, one of my big concerns is that I forget to dismiss the children. So right at the top of my notes, that goes along with today's sermon of being anxious. So anyway, if you're young and can fit in those small chairs, feel free to go to children's church. We have two verses today. One is from the epistle of Peter, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And the second verse is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 25. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Father, we ask you to open our hearts, open our lives. Let us see us as you see us. May we be tender in your hand and know your gentle care. May we learn more to rely on you and others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've all had it at some time. We've all had times of uncertainty. We've had times of concern about whether we'll succeed or whether we'll fail, whether others are going to suffer or think poorly of us. We have the emotion called anxiety. It's just an emotion. And every human being has that. That emotion is meant to trigger in us a concern that something needs to change. And there's nothing wrong with that. The topic of anxiety runs throughout the Bible, starting first with Adam and Eve in the garden. Clear up through the book of Revelations in the last chapter where uncertainty is finally vanquished. How do we deal with anxiety becomes a spiritual issue when it starts to take our lives away from God and towards either despair or reliance on our own means. The Bible has many stories of people being anxious. Some are extreme examples. For example, Hannah and her thirst for having a child out of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Or Elijah after defeating the priests of Baal, then being rejected still and fleeing in 1 Kings chapter 19 and hiding in a cave. Or the entire book of Job, where he has lost everything, his fortune, his family, and his would-be friends. Or many of the Psalms of David talk about his anxiety, his fear, his feeling like God is far from him and the times are uncertain and he has no place to go. We have the story of Jonah. Being swallowed by a whale is not something that causes you anxiety. We need to talk. We have the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where in the Gospel of Luke it's reported that he was so stressed that he started to sweat droplets of blood. But we have plenty of other examples in Scripture where people have anxiety that's not so severe, not so life-threatening, not so dire, that matches probably better some of the anxiety we've had in our lives. I think of the birth story of Mary and Joseph. Talk about a stressful time. Or how about when they couldn't find Jesus as they were traveling back to Nazareth? Or how about the story of Mary and Martha, where Martha is all worried about making sure everything is just perfect for Jesus as he visits, and Mary is at Jesus' feet. That's the story out of Luke chapter 10. Or how about out of John chapter 6, where Jesus has a large crowd of people and he turns to his disciples and says, "Feed them." If you were one of Jesus' disciples, I can understand why you might be a little anxious at that point. Paul also had anxiety. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, he says, "Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concerns for all the churches." That word concern is also translated anxiety in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious, do not be concerned about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Since we all have times of anxiety and worry, what you do about them. That is where the verses from today come in. We will be anxious, but we do not have to stay that way. Anxiety alerts us to some uncertainty, some danger, some need to change. That anxiety can then push us away or towards God and others. Many verses in Scripture point towards becoming more reliant on God in times of anxiety. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6, verses 25 and 27. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? One of the passages today was from 1 Peter 5:7. It comes from the end of the letter, where the author is giving his last instructions to the church. And one of those last instructions is, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The pronoun there, the him and he, refers to God who cares for you. So when you're anxious, one way to respond is to turn towards God. Remember his comfort and acts for you in previous times of stress. Remember his holding you, comforting you, giving you what you need. We will all become anxious at some time. But take the opportunity to use that anxiousness to move towards God. Many of the Psalms follow this pattern of lament followed by resolve for God to see God's work again. To remember that God will be there even if the psalmist cannot see or feel him. One example is from Psalm 61, the first three verses. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. Or for Psalm 22, this is the psalm that Jesus references on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, I do not find rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you, our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you, they cried out and were saved. In you, they trusted and were not put to shame. As Ira Samphill in his hymn put it, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. When anxiety seems to be taking hold and you're stuck in a cycle of rumination, thinking over and over about what could go wrong, how things could get worse, what will happen if you can't pay a bill, if you can't see a way forward for a child, if you can't find out from the doctor what is wrong with your body, whatever the cause of the anxiety and the uncertainty, the cycle can be broken by turning towards God and remembering his past acts on your behalf. Another way to break the cycle of anxiety is to find someone to share that uncertainty with. Our second verse from Proverbs points that way. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Proverb is a contrast between alone anxiety weighing us down and sharing it with someone we trust, that their kindness will help us. Another familiar proverb along this line is from Proverbs 17, verse 17. Friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Jesus had his 12 disciples, whom he called friends. He called them to watch with him when he was in his anxiety, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. We can see this fulfilled in the life of Paul. Paul's life was extremely stressful and anxiety-producing. God gave him what could seem like an impossible task: evangelize the non-Jewish world. He made 4 missionary journeys on this task. He was shipwrecked, stoned, persecuted, eventually imprisoned. As we noted above, he was always anxious about the small churches that he founded and wrote to them to encourage them. How did Paul handle his anxiety that this would cause? I believe that it was his many friends that helped him deal with this anxiety. Let's take a look at the end of the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. It's a little long, but what I want you to do is pay attention to all the people he names. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Argactus, send you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who's called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Paul is sending his friends to comfort the Colossian church because they're anxious about him as he's imprisoned. But he acknowledges that these friends of his have been his comfort. They have proved my comfort to be a comfort to me. And they shared the bringing of concerns and anxiety Paul had to God in prayer. While in prison, Paul is encouraged by his friends, Tychicus, Onesimus, Argactus, Mark, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, Demas. In Romans 15, Paul goes through a list of 30 names or more of people who have assisted him in his ministry. If you are a friend to someone who is anxious, please be ready to sit and to listen. Most of us know God's promises and have experienced God's deliverances. And when we confide in a friend, it's usually more to get the emotion off our chest and to allow us to move on and to redirect. So please share in a time of listening and reflecting and sharing. Anxiety, worry, concern are not new emotions. As Christians, these emotions can lead us to a closer fellowship with God and friends. Anxiety can try to drive us into loneliness and despair. But we can respond with God's help by remembering God's work on our behalf, by praying and by confiding in our friends about the anxieties we are having. Today's queries. When have you felt anxious and found God and friends to help redirect the anxiety to deepen your faith and friendship? What has God done for you in the past that you marvel at and have learned that he loves you and keeps you? Who are your friends that can assist you in times of anxiety and worry?